Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Oh, wow. All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And as you know, we're convinced that checks and balances are the key to success in America. A good, honest, moral people using the checks and balances that made America great could certainly do it again. Problem? Immorality of the American people, folks. You say, well, I'm not a bad guy. I know. But we're not a religious people. We don't hold the Ten Commandments sacred. You know what? Sunday's a massive, massive regular day. It should be a day of rest. It should be a day of delight, all right? We're not honoring our fathers and our mothers. Tremendous disrespect across the nation and families. Mothers and fathers don't stay together hardly anymore. Divorce is rampant. The list goes on and on and on, folks. And I don't mean to be negative, but I do mean to point to the solutions that they are. The Ten Commandments, for starters, they are morality in the people. They are using the checks and balances to properly chain down those who would seek power with the Constitution as our protection, as our guide. It can be done. But what we do now is, not only are we an immoral people and all this kind of stuff, but then we point to the Constitution and act like it's the problem. And we act like it's failed us. So we run around and shift blame instead of taking responsibility. I digress, except to point to God, family, and country for answers, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we were live on the air on Saturday. We had our guest, Richard Mack, with us, CSPOA.org. That's the Constitutional Saracen Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. We talked about known agitator John Earl Sullivan, charged for his role in the Capitol breach, right? He was caught on video at the Capitol celebrating their success of breaking in. Now, here's what's funny. They call this guy a right-wing agitator, right? But it turns out before he was a Trump supporter, he was a Bernie Sanders supporter. Now, I don't mean to be offensive, but Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump have opposite views on almost everything. Bernie Sanders, a radical extreme socialist. Donald Trump, far from perfect, but a God-fearing constitutionalist, right? You say, well, come on, Sam, Donald hasn't really obeyed the Constitution. More than any other president in my lifetime, he sure has. Has he done a perfect job like I might expect? No. But you got to give him some credit. But the point about this whacked-out right-wing, you know, agitator guy, he's more left-wing than he is right-wing, folks. He's tied up in Antifa and Black Lives Matter and celebrating with extreme liberals and everything else. This guy's no Trump supporter in the genuine term. All right, we also talked about a very interesting French programmer. A French computer programmer transferred more than $500,000 in Bitcoin to, quote, far-right groups and individuals involved in riots at the Capitol. Well, this programmer, I guess, just committed suicide. So, look, he gave $500,000 to right-wing groups and then died. This French programmer. You can't trace the money in Bitcoin, folks. It makes you wonder what's going on. Serious issues, right? Now, this makes the point that Donald Trump focused on at Charlottesville more accurate than ever. Look, there are good guys and bad guys on both sides of this. He's right as rain, but he got attacked big time for it. Nancy Pelosi called the impeachment of President Trump urgent, right? But she hasn't sent the charge to the Senate yet to start. the trial, nor did she commit when she would do so. You got to kind of wonder about that. Why was it so urgent? Answer, to get on record that Donald Trump, the only person to ever be impeached by the House twice. Now, after the fact, because Mitch McConnell won't cooperate, after the fact, they're going to try to have the Senate vote. And what's going to happen with that? Time will tell. I think we've got to go back and impeach Barack Obama, too. I think what President Trump needs to do right before he leaves office is release the truth on Barack Obama's birth certificate, right? Can you get to that truth, Donald? Why don't you release that? You were promising to do so before you ever became president, that you would do your best to get to the bottom of that. Now I haven't seen a word, heard a word. But you know what? If you release that, maybe we could go back and impeach Barack Obama, too. Hey, maybe we could also go back and impeach Bill Clinton for all kinds of other things, right? Maybe the Vince Foster murder that's been covered up. Look, hey, the Capitol Police has plenty of attention now. Let's look into that. What do you think, President Trump? You got a lot of work to do, buddy. Start releasing classified information left and right, will you? Did we go to the moon? What about JFK? What do you know, President Trump? Or what can you know, huh? They say crisis casts light on a one-mission agency unused to scrutiny. New York Times. What are you talking about? The Capitol Police. Security fence now goes up around the same Congress that rejected one on the border last year. Remember on the border last year they said walls don't work? Why do we got walls around the Capitol right now then, huh? The hypocrisy at an all-time high. The annual March for Life has been canceled in person this year. They say this is only partly due to the coronavirus. Yeah, it's due to riots and all kinds of other civil unrest too, isn't it? That was hour one on Saturday. Hour two, we talked about Capitol Police intelligence warned of insurrection days in advance. So when they tell you they didn't know about it, they lie. Got it? They lied. New York City Corrections, believe it or not, New York Times. New York Times Correction. They had a picture, and it had an essay with it about the January 6th riots at the Capitol. And they misidentified a man that was shirtless. They said that he was a criminal, that he was breaking down the door. Turns out he was actually a journalist for the Daily Caller. He didn't have his shirt on because he got pepper spray, and he took his shirt off because there was spray all over his shirt, and he was trying to be able to breathe. So he took his shirt off, and the reason that he was trying to reach into the door, he was a videographer. And it turns out that on his phone was the video to prove, number one, his innocence. And number two, he was documenting what was happening at the Capitol. He was a Daily Caller reporter. But the New York Times went ahead and said this guy was one of the lead rioters. Look at him. His shirt's off. He's going crazy. Turned out to be a complete bogus lie. And the New York Times was forced to retract, ladies and gentlemen. Fox News reporting now that three samples of ice cream from a Chinese company tested positive for the coronavirus. They also had to confiscate thousands of boxes of dessert as a result. Now, this is interesting because in 2020, we thought it was bad. In 2021, are they going to start to roll out all kinds of food, ends up getting tainted with the cocoa? Yeah, don't eat your ice cream, buddy. Certainly don't give ice cream to your kids. You know what I'm talking about? The CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, has a new warning out. They say the new strain of the virus, it's called the British version, it could dominate in the United States probably around March. How convenient when spring is a-springing and everybody's ready to go outside. Oh, no, you don't. Wow. The global coronavirus death toll, they say, topped 2 million on Friday. So there you have it. But again, you know, do you trust their numbers? I sure don't. COVID vaccine secret. The protocols used to produce the mRNA for the vaccines, well, they don't appear to identify any nucleotide sequences at all that are unique to the SARS-CoV virus, folks. So the problem is Pfizer even confirms they don't have a real isolation of the COVID virus. So if you don't have the isolated virus, folks, How can you claim you've sequenced it? And if you haven't sequenced it, but you sequenced it by nothing but guesses, assumption, then how do you even claim the virus is real? Folks, let's be clear. We're not saying people are not getting sick from something. What we're saying is that they want to, you to believe that they have this completely nailed down and locked down and isolated, and they got a vaccine for it. But none of that's science. Now, that's interesting when Joe Biden says he's going to let the science lead on this thing, right? What kind of science, Joe? Pseudoscience? Because you're not talking about honest science, buddy. All right, Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey said that censorship will be much bigger than the Trump ban was. That's something we can look forward to, I guess, huh? Think of a country where a small group of people decide what is truth and what is fiction. This group, of course, is not held accountable for their decisions, ladies and gentlemen. They get away with anything they like, hiding behind giant media and tech companies or third-party, quote, fact checkers. These people can do anything they want, say anything they want, publish anything they want, promote anything they want. That headline came from PragerU. By the way, Saturday was National Religious Freedom Day. Religious Freedom Day 2021, baby. That's good news. Joe Biden to remove any legal recognition of two genders on his first day, they claim. Look out, folks. It's a-coming.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom, and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left, and I was so mad I got out, and he said, wait, your mom said to give you this. I forgot my lunch money, and then I dropped it in the water, and I was late for history, and so at lunchtime, I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which, of course, our library didn't have, so I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom, and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me, and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout. And then he read my history paper while I was in the pool. And of course, I forgot the bibliography. So I had to do that with my mother when I got home. And it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning. And I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew. But my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team. And, you know, I'm just not going to go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just want to stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked to hear
that. So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
All right, final tidbit of Saturday. Ben Shapiro says we need to replace the legacy media. Boy, howdy, is he right on that score. I've been telling people that forever. Good job, Ben. All right, Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty. Welcome back, my brother.
Good to be back, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Man, we have so much to focus on, ladies and gentlemen. RonPaulInstitute.org, CampaignForLiberty.org, why they hate Donald Trump so deeply. Jacob Hornberger writes the piece. Why do they hate him so much, Lowell?
Well, he's suggesting that the Democrats, the liberals, the progressives, the mainstream press, they all hate him, and you know, I agree. But I also believe most establishment Republicans hate him as well. I mean, he took flack both from his own party and from the Democrat-controlled left. And so you have to ask yourself, why in the world would they impeach him a second time? Well, you know, Hornberger theorizes they want to keep him from running for president in 2024. Quote, the last thing the Democrats and the mainstream press want is to have Trump back on the campaign trail, given their obvious aim to forever bury any reference to the possibility of fraud in the 2020 election, including by censoring people or simply labeling them as traitors, to have Trump running again, spouting off about a fraudulent election would be their worst nightmare, end of quote. That's what Hornberger thinks. And so why so much anger for him? I mean, that might be the ostensible reason, but there's a deeper reason, he thinks. And he searches deeply through this article for that reason. So bottom line, Sam, why they hate Trump so deeply, he says, I'll tell you what it is. He says, quote, it is acceptable practice for any politician or a bureaucrat to criticize things that happen within the Washington, D.C. sandbox in which these people play. But woe to the politician or bureaucrat who challenges the sandbox itself. He is toast. No president since John Kennedy has dared do that. Kennedy did it, especially in his famous peace speech at American University 5 months before he was assassinated. He said that the Cold War was a crock and that he was calling an end to it, which, needless to say, constituted a grave threat to the sandbox in which the national security establishment had been playing and hope to continue playing for the indefinite future. We all know what happened to Kennedy, or at least those of us who are not afraid to examine and challenge the dark inner workings of the national security state sandbox. No president since Kennedy has dared do that, until Donald Trump came along. No matter his faults and failures and poor policy decisions, there is one indisputable fact about Donald Trump. He is not like the rest of the Republican and Democrat politicians or their followers and supporters in the mainstream press. During his campaign, he called them out all. He challenged their sandbox, or if you will, their swamp. He appeared to be willing to take on the military and its forever wars, as well as the intelligence community and its nefarious dark side activities. He garnered lots of support and votes for that stance, and that, according to Jacob G. Hornberger, Sam, that's why they hate him. No politician or bureaucrat is supposed to do that, and certainly no president is supposed to do that. End of quote. Yes, Sam, it's true, Trump eventually caved into the system, but the fact that he challenged the system to begin with is why they hate him so deeply and why the deep state wants to send this powerful message that the system must never, ever be challenged again, and not certainly not by Trump himself, Sam.
I agree with Hornberger's point, but I also think there's something that others might not catch, but I want to highlight about President Donald Trump. You know, all this left-right paradigm, conservatives, liberals, left-right, Republican, Democrat, and then they say, well, reject the left-right paradigm. It's the swamp versus us. You know, a lot of those things are true. A lot of those things have some manipulation in them, but whether we divide male, female, whether we talk about any other divisions, war versus peace, folks, in the end of the day, in my humble opinion, it's going to be all changed in terms of the divide line. All the 99% of the other divide lines that served so well to destroy America will be jettisoned for this one divide line. And that is Christians versus the non-Christian. Eventually, that will be the divide line. And all these other lines will just kind of be obliterated. Race won't matter. None of those things will matter. It'll be Christian versus the non-Christian. Or those who say, I'm just not as Christian as you are, whatever you want to say. You know, I might be Christian, but I won't profess it. I won't take it to the public square. I'll kind of be silent. In other words, it's going to come down to, will you deny the Christ? And I will not deny the Christ, okay? That's really where it's headed. I know people think I'm nuts on this, but just hang with me. And so pro-life is the core Christian value. There is no greater value than the protection of the life that God gave us as Christians. Well, Donald Trump has crossed that line. He openly praises God, openly thanks God, openly, you know, mentions by the grace of God, or this, and he openly stands for pro-life. He literally is the first president we've ever known to go to the pro-life rallies, and they've been going on since 1972. Now they shut down this one over the coronavirus and violence in the Capitol. Did you hear the pro-life folks aren't going to go to their big event now? So now that they've canceled the annual pro-life event, it's been going on since like 1972 or whatever, 73, since Roe versus Wade, right? It's been going on for, you know, 40 plus years, almost 50 years, okay? But the real dividing line will be that. In my opinion, it's challenging the swamp. That's part of it. But a bigger issue, though, is that Trump has stood for Christ. Trump has stood for pro-life. And I believe that's the big no-no. Your thoughts?
Well, I certainly can't argue that, because that is a big, big dividing line. I think one of many. I think the Marxist ideology, the way Marxism overtakes and overwhelms and undermines a country, of course, is to get people fighting against each other, and they do that by creating numerous lines of division, you know, black against white, gay against straight, and the list goes on and on and on. So, you know, you may be absolutely right, Sam. I think in the end, that may be the biggest dividing line. I don't think that's the line right now.
Yeah, you're right. And let's be clear, too. I'm not suggesting it's one or the other. So it's not what Hornberger says, that it's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's all the above, because when you challenge the swamp, at first you might challenge little things, but eventually the swamp is a godless swamp, or they can't maintain power. Okay. Mm-hmm. The socialist swamp, the communist swamp, is a godless swamp. Okay. And that's why Ezra Taft Benson, Secretary of Agriculture under Eisenhower, said, hey, one of the greatest threats to our freedom is this communist cabal, this godless communist cabal. Okay, because it comes down to the godless versus the God-fearing. And so I think that Hornberger is right. I'm not suggesting what he's saying is wrong. I'm just saying all roads lead eventually to my point. Although along the way, Hornberger's point is no doubt correct.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other thoughts on the why they hate him so deeply issue?
Nope. That's great, Sam. I appreciate
your
bringing that to
life. The last reason that I think they hate him so deeply is because he's the only one that's really been able to call the media's bluff as well.
Yes. Yeah. And I love the way he took over, and tweeted during his presidency, social media. And that's why today, the social media cracked down so hard on him and others like him.
It's kind of funny to me how they said you can't be on social media because you might provoke violence. But yet then they let him release a video from the White House that had scrutiny and pre-recorded and we'll control what you say, but we want you to say it. Get on there and say it. To try to defend yourself, but yet we won't let you talk freely, but we will let you release something that we control. Isn't that interesting how the White House, in bed with the mainstream press, made that happen?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too, Sam. Yep.
By the way, Trump's speech should be, I know that the article says it is, but it should be protective speech. Judge Andrew Napolitano speaks out.
Yeah, this is an interesting take just about the freedom of speech. I mean, Napolitano talks about, he talks about the freedom of speech. And he claims that President Trump's speech at the Capitol, at the Capitol Mall there on January 6th was protected speech and should be protected speech. I mean, he said, the First Amendment reads in part, as you know, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. Now, what did the ratifiers mean when they ratified this article of amendment, right? And Thomas Jefferson once argued that so long as the speaker neither picked his pocket nor broke his leg, all the speaker's words are protected. Well, the perspective of the ratifiers was called into question in 1798, just a mere years after they were ratified, when Congress enacted the Alien and Sedition Acts and President John Adams signed them. One of those acts made it a crime to utter false, scandalous, or malicious speech against the government or against the president. And so it's interesting that Congress approved these acts so soon after the First Amendment was ratified.
And that just shows how manipulated Congress can be. But thank heavens they got a handle on it a little bit later. Details of that coming up. Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty, talking about Judge Napolitano's point that Donald Trump's speech is protected speech, folks, just like yours and mine should be.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
As Inauguration Day approaches, what do we know about the 25,000 National Guardsmen and women? That's the FBI thoughts, as the FBI is vetting every National Guard member stationed in the nation's capital. The FBI began screening the National Guard troops upon their arrival to D.C. over a week ago. In addition to the review, Guard members are also receiving training to detect potential insider threats. Two separate migrant caravans of about 5,000 people are moving from Honduras toward the U.S. border, calling on incoming Biden administration to honor their commitment and open up the border. A Biden transition official, however, warned migrants against coming to the United States, saying now is not the time to make the journey. The National Park Service is reporting a San Jose man remained missing on Monday after he was swept out to sea off the Point Bonita Lighthouse Trail near the San Francisco Bay entrance. Known as King Tides, heavy surf will continue for the next couple of days. USA Radio News.
Newsmax TV. Everyone is watching it now. President Trump says he loves it. And more than 30 million Americans tune into Newsmax TV. With great shows and analysts like Dick Morris, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, and a lot more. Every night you can watch Newsmax's number one show, Greg Kelly Reports. Greg Kelly and Newsmax are unafraid to tell the truth about the election, how big tech is censoring you, and Joe Biden's dangerous plans. You need to watch Newsmax TV. Get Newsmax on all major cable systems or check your guide. If you don't get Newsmax, call your cable operator. Tell them you want Newsmax. And remember, Newsmax is free on Roku, YouTube, Apple TV, Zumo, TiVo Plus, Pluto, Chromecast, and most smart TVs like Samsung and LG. And don't forget to download the free Newsmax TV app. All other cable news channels ask you to pay, but Newsmax's app is free. So start watching anytime, anywhere in the world.
More arrests in D.C. as the military zone around the Capitol prepares for Biden's inauguration Wednesday. USA Radio News' Jeremy Scott reports.
At least three people have been arrested at security checkpoints in D.C. in the days leading up to the inauguration. Two separate men from Virginia and a woman from Connecticut. Authorities say 31-year-old Wesley Beeler had an unregistered firearm and hundreds of rounds of ammunition when he was stopped by authorities. He tells WUSA 9,
I'm not a bad person, and it was just an accident that was made because I forgot to take my time to leave for work and take my firearm out of the truck before I left Virginia.
Beeler said he had a security badge for the inauguration from his employer. 22-year-old Guy Berry was arrested for carrying an unlicensed firearm, three high-capacity magazines, and three dozen rounds of ammunition. 63-year-old Linda McGovern said she was part of the presidential cabinet. She was given a psychological evaluation. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on a riding shotgun today. Trump's speech is protected speech. Judge Napolitano, the good judge, talks about Thomas Jefferson, who once argued that so long as the speaker neither picked his pocket or broke his legs, all speech, words are protected, even Donald Trump's. Lowell?
So eventually, Jefferson debated Adams for president, Sam, and Congress repealed the anti-speech portion of the Alien and Sedition Act. But not out of the goodness of their hearts, mind you, but because they feared repression and reprisal against themselves, right? I mean, that's why they did it. They realized that, oh, heck, Jefferson beat Adams, and Jefferson, you know, opposed the Alien and Sedition Act. That's where the resolves of 98 and 99 came from. And therefore, he might use that against us. And so we better repeal those pieces of our legislation, otherwise he might use them against us. That's why they repealed them, Sam. So now this sentiment is mirrored, really, in a New York Times article last week, whose author believes that Trump incited the riot. So on one hand, this author believes that Trump incited the riot, but should not be removed from office on such a low bar, because that low bar might be used against members of the left in the very near future. Take that. I thought that was an interesting parallel. The New York Times, the people on the left are hesitant to actually remove, you know, Trump from office because it sets a low bar, it sets a bad precedent, and they might find themselves, you know, in hot water later on if that same low bar were used against them. Well, Napolitano concludes his column with a discussion about a Supreme Court case and you know, we don't need to get into the details.
Well, the last line I think is really important here, though, Lowell. And what it basically says is this. The answer to the free speech problem is more speech. Anyway, highlight that because I think that's really the critical takeaway.
Yeah, and you need to know that the Supreme Court decided that this state case, this Ohio case, it's a Brandenburg versus Ohio. And Brandenburg was convicted in Ohio of inciting violence against the Jews and the blacks by encouraging violence at a rally in Ohio. You know, Brandenburg acknowledged that violence was his purpose, but claimed that his words were protected political speech. Well, Ohio said he was guilty. The U.S. Supreme Court reversed the conviction. Why? Because of the time between the time he said what he said and the time of the violence. In other words, immediacy. It comes into play here. So if you say something and incite a crowd to a riot, Sam, and they immediately take action, then that is not protected speech, and you'd be guilty of inciting a riot. But at the Capitol, Trump's speech ended at 12:45, and then other people spoke. The Capitol wasn't breached until at least 90 minutes later. And so Napolitano is saying the essence of criminal incitement is immediacy. He says that courts know that, and the Congress needs to know it as well. He says the First Amendment protects the speech that we hate and fear. It even protects the speech that harms. The remedy for harmful speech is not punishment. It is more speech. The courts know this, Sam, and Congress needs to know it as well.
And let me give you a proof positive of this. Even if President Trump did incite a riot, which I don't believe that he did, now I'm going to basically use this free speech as a Trump supporter. Since they won't let Trump speak, I will speak for him. And here's what I will say. I don't think we ought to go to any of the 50 state capitals or Washington, D.C. for this inauguration. I think we need to avoid violence and the potential for violence right now at all costs. That doesn't mean that I'm willing to back away from defending our nation or anything else. I'm just saying right now they've created intentionally such a dishonest lie about who's done what to the point where if you go out and get involved, even if your intentions are peaceful, you may be caught up in the melee dishonest lie. And let me give you a 30-second really quick point to make. I went to Oregon with Ammon Bundy. We had a peaceful rally for the Hammonds. And after that peaceful rally, Bundy and those guys took over the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. Well, I refused to take that over, and so we left. Well, I don't know if you know, but I had my photo. I was one of the leaders of the rally. I was walking in the front of everybody to go to the Hammond's house peacefully. We went there. We sang Amazing Grace. It was very peaceful, very nice. But they literally took my picture, which had me and Richard Mack and Kurt Crosby leading the rally. But my face was uncovered. Kurtz and Richard Mack's face were pretty much covered because it was like almost 0 degrees outside. Nevertheless, they took my peaceful picture and they put it on the takeover of the refuge stories. They lied. They flat out dishonestly lied. Now, I issued a press release against it, and I'm somewhat of a little bit larger of a public figure than others maybe. Now, I'm not trying to tell you I'm important. I'm just saying, so when I issue a press release and say something, then they're kind of forced to retract. I'm big enough to cause that to happen. Well, anyway, I bring this up because you might get caught in traps just like that. Okay, I was not even at the takeover of the refuge. I was writing a press release, publicly releasing it against it, but they literally took my picture from the peaceful rally, which was hours before, acted like it was the same event, and acted like I was one of the leaders of the takeover, and they got caught. All right, but I'm telling you, so I am going to use my speech to support President Trump and say, look, don't go to any of these potential bad zones, because I'm telling you, it will not go well. There's no value. You just even heard at the bottom of the hour people getting arrested. So I agree Trump's speech is protected speech, but this dovetails nicely with Paul Craig Roberts' column as of late as well, Lowell.
It does, Sam, and just one more word about the effect in, the questionable effectiveness of protests at the 50 state capitals or at the Capitol Mall. I don't recommend that because it's not effective. I mean, it was effective in showing how many people, over a million people, supported Trump and supported election integrity, which is the reason they were there. And so from that standpoint, yeah, it was effective. But just think, Sam, how much more effective it would be if those million people would focus their attention on the teachers, right? I mean, if you broke that into groups of, you know, maybe 100,000 or 200,000 people who actually focused on Georgia, you know, I don't know how many people came from Nevada or how many people came from Michigan or Wisconsin, some of these battleground states where the election fraud occurred so egregiously. But if that number, 50,000, 10,000, I don't care what it is, if that number of people focus their attention instead on talking with their state legislators to ensure election integrity, just think of what we could accomplish. And then you wouldn't have the protests. You wouldn't have the chance of falling prey to the spin of the lamestream media, like you just described. And I think it's malicious what they did to you by, you know, taking your picture of a peaceful rally for a family there in Oregon and plastering it all over this this thing later that happened. It's terrible that they did that. So, yeah, I agree with you, Sam. I think the more effective strategy is to befriend your state legislator and talk to them. They're the ones who are responsible for election integrity, not the feds. Heck, the feds are not responsible for that. So,
yeah, I've mentioned that I think we should go back to the precinct level. There's about 135,000 precincts in America, I think, and if we all went back to our precinct and demanded accountability in the votes, we could change things tomorrow. But unless we get the localist or the most local point of government and we insist politely, peacefully, I don't know that we're going to make a difference. So we need to realize where we can make the biggest differences and how to go about them in a peaceful way. So anyway, I use my speech. The point that you mentioned was time. Since President Trump gave his speech, I give a speech before these eventual coming up events. And so we have time to kind of calm people down and say, look, here's a better, more peaceful way.
Yeah, absolutely right, Ben.
There you go.
Appreciate that. Well, so Paul Craig Roberts, I'll just summarize. We won't have time to go through the whole thing, but great column wherein he proved with evidence, video evidence, there was no violent assault on the Capitol. Now, I wasn't there, but he, with video evidence, Sam, proved there was no violent assault on the Capitol, but there was abundant evidence of electoral fraud. And so he ties these two together. He says the evidence will show enormous fraud in the swing states where the election was stolen, what I just barely called the battleground states. Regardless of the evidence, everyone suspects Biden is going to be found the winner because that is what the establishment demands. It has the means to enforce with media, with Antifa, with BLM, as threats to be unleashed and campaign contributions to be cut off, right? I mean, so that is the situation that they're in the Capitol, right? So here that but basically Paul Craig Roberts and I looked at the video evidence and I saw organized protesters walking through the Capitol, observing the rope boundaries. And all of that, but that's not what you saw in the lamestream media. You saw people smashing windows and so forth on the outside. And anyway, the so-called violent assault on the Capitol is another fake news success, Sam.
We're talking about congressional hysteria, hypocrisy. It could doom liberty. That's next.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
We condemn the unnecessary violence, and we also condemn the destruction of private property, or even public property in this case. Nevertheless, this lie about that there was a violent assault on the Capitol, look, a few bad apples did some things, a few, maybe 100 people or something like that. But when we find out the cops really let people in, and for the most part it was orderly, you're being lied to. And there is abundance of election fraud that simply got obliterated by this. Now no one's talking about it. Except for me and Lowell. Final point on the issue, Lowell.
Right. The only people who saw the evidence were the legislators in the various states, in the battleground states, and at least three of those states anyway. And the members of Congress began hearing about the electoral fraud, but then that got upset when this so-called assault on the Capitol happened. So 99% of the American population do not know what expert witnesses presented. There was vast evidence of electoral fraud, and one of the great things that Paul Craig Roberts does in this column is that he embedded numerous links to hours and hours of testimony about the election fraud. And I didn't listen to all of it, but I did listen to some of it. There is no question in my mind, Sam, of election fraud in these six battleground states, and the fact that it's up to the people in those states to get the legislature to backpedal on...
Well, and as I told Kurt Crosby and others, as long as you allow these secret combinations to get above you and they go to all lengths to cover up their crimes, we're in serious, serious trouble. And the only solution is for the people to repent and turn to God. Mm-hmm. Congressional hysteria, no doubt about that, and hypocrisy could doom liberty, writes James Bavard.
Great little article at RonPaulInstitute.org. Smack in the middle of this, let's get right to the heart of it. President-elect Biden said protesters' action was quote, an assault on the citadel of liberty, the Capitol itself, end quote. But contrast the violence that lawmakers suffered, you know, like a few broken windows and stuff like that. Contrast that with the laws that they have inflicted. Most of the Trump protesters were less destructive than SWAT teams carrying out a no-knock raid, Sam. It's happened thousands of times a year in American neighborhoods across the land. These attacks have been aided by a profusion of military-style equipment provided by Congress and federal agencies, as well as by the Justice Department, constantly championing the legal prerogatives of law enforcement to use deadly force in almost any situation. An ACLU report characterized SWAT raids as violent events. Numerous, often 20 or more officers armed with assault rifles and grenades approach a home, break down doors and windows, often causing property damage, and scream for the people inside to get on the floor, often pointing their guns at them. Failure to instantly submit to SWAT raiders can be a capital offense. A New York Times investigation found that at least 81 civilians and 13 law enforcement officers died in raids from 2010 to 2016. Scores of others were maimed or wounded. And the vast majority of members of Congress have ignored the perennial police carnage they helped bankroll around the nation. End of quote, Sam. That's the heart of his article.
And around the world. Hypocrisy. And then we complain when somebody runs around and goes, hey, man, I got my feet on Pelosi's desk.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so hypocritical.
Now, don't get me wrong. The people that died are a sad tale to tell. But remember, the one lady that died was killed by the cops. Okay, now, then I guess a police officer was killed, and that's a sad tale for sure. But, you know, they act like, you know, five people died. We don't even hear the details of how most of them died, right?
No.
Isn't that interesting? You don't have the details. They just want to make it sound like more people died, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's the only person who really died was shot by Capitol Police. The others were just, protesters with medical conditions and so forth.
And we're not saying their deaths. We're not saying their deaths don't matter, but to chalk it up as a crazy, violent insurrection killed five people. That's not really the truth at all, or accurate at all. In fact, they didn't need to shoot that woman that was a veteran. And we really need to dig into the cop that shot her and create accountability. But the sad part is, we probably never will.
Yeah, I mean, he could have used a taser. He could have just blocked her entrance, simply by putting his body in the way. I mean,
or he could have just let her in.
Yeah, exactly right. But the essence of this article, Sam, is the hypocrisy of some government bureaucrat complaining about the attack on the Capitol, when in reality they have bankrolled the U.S. government imposed blockade on Syria, Venezuela, Iran, Yemen, and other nations, right? So the next time you hear a member of Congress express any displeasure about January 6th, why don't you ask him or her about the tens of thousands of people dying in the Middle East because of U.S. blockade? Why isn't he upset about that?
Why don't we talk about mandated regime changes in other countries against the people's will by our military as well?
Exactly. What about the spying, the torture, the killing of our brothers and sisters around the world that Congress has funded, right? It's just rank hypocrisy, Sam, and they need to be called out on it.
Amen to that. What about the hypocrisy of, we got to shut down everybody because of the coronavirus? Jeffrey Tucker nails this one.
Posted at RonPaulInstitute.org, he gives us a bit of history. There was a nation flu, Sam, in 1957, the year I was born, and in 1958. The Asian flu of 57-58 was a deadly pandemic with broader reach for severe outcomes than COVID-19 of 2020. It killed between 1 and 4 million people worldwide and 116,000 in the United States in a time that had half the population that it has today. It was a leading contributor to a year in which U.S. saw 62,000 excess deaths. We don't see that with COVID-19, by the way, no excess deaths. But in the Asian flu of 57-58, they did. Globally, it might have been five times as deadly as COVID-19 as measured by deaths per capita. It was unusually lethal for younger people, and yet they did not lock down. They did not mandate masks. So did they simply not realize the so-called benefits of masking and locking down back then? No. Public health experts at the time did, in fact, consider school closures, business closures, and the banning of public events and so forth. But they rejected those. Why? Because lockdowns would be too disruptive, disabling the capacity of medical professionals to deal competently with the crisis, Sam. That sounds familiar, huh? Tucker continues, whereas lockdowns in the COVID-19 case might have contributed to a lengthening of the crisis by delaying herd immunity, the period in which Asian flu had the most severe consequences was only 3 months. Newspapers barely covered it. Most people did not notice it. Think about that. The Asian flu of 1957-58 was four or five times as deadly as COVID-19, and most people didn't even know about it. Why?
Didn't lock down, weren't forced to wear masks, weren't forced to pay for and fund vaccines, anything like that at all. By the way, the Epic Times, one of the intrepid reporting groups out there today, highlights the reality that the COVID vaccine kills people and has serious, serious side effects that they're not willing to blatantly admit. Lol.
From January 5th, headline, hundreds sent to emergency room after getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Also January 5th, 2 days after receiving COVID-19 shot, a healthy 41-year-old mother dies in Portugal. From January 6th, the headline reads, severe allergic reactions to COVID-19 vaccines occurring at a higher rate than flu shots. From January 14th, 23 die in Norway after receiving the Pfizer CCP virus vaccine. And from January 16th, Sam, 55 people have died in the United States after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. 55 people, Sam, here in the U.S., have died after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine.
And for the most part, the mainstream press doesn't report anything about it.
No, they don't. And this is amazing. I mean, the VAERS website you can report an adverse event or an adverse reaction to a vaccine. And there are a lot of reports piling up in this database. And, the good news is you don't have to, you know, they're not screened. They can just pile up. And so that's what's happening. And there's a lot of people getting hurt by this vaccine. And nobody's hearing about it because, well, the Epic Times is reporting it, but, you know, the lamestream press certainly is not going to report it. But people are dying from the vaccine that they don't even need for a virus that hasn't even proved to be in existence, Sam. That's the irony of this.
Well, and that's the problem with their dishonest fake news reporting, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about this COVID vaccine secret. A stunner, John Rappaport, basically saying, hey, you know what? They even blatantly admit they don't have the real sequencing of the coronavirus. And therefore, how do you have a vaccine for something that you don't even have nailed down to have a vaccine against? It's a very interesting, complicated scientific discussion. But put simply like this, if you don't have an isolated copy of the coronavirus, how do you have a mere vaccine to stop it? And the answer is, they don't. And they know they don't. And they admit they don't. But nobody seems to care.
Bottom line, Sam, you don't know what is in that COVID vaccine. You know, they claim that there is some fragment from a supposed virus that hasn't even been proven to exist. And so consider the PCR test. Several levels of valid criticism have been aimed at that PCR test. First of all, different labs come up with different contradictory test results, right? So any sample you send, if you send to multiple labs, you'll get back different test results. That's true. And drilling down even a little deeper, the test, when it amplifies the tissue sample taken from a patient, is useless and dangerous when more than 34 cycles or steps of amplification are deployed. Why? Because then huge numbers of false positives occur. Down yet another level, we discover the PCR test doesn't detect a virus at all. It simply identifies a piece of RNA presumed to have come from a virus. And finally, the test identifies a piece of RNA from a virus that hasn't been proven to exist. That's the bottom line. CDC even admits that they don't have the virus. They haven't isolated it, Sam. They have not isolated the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And yet, there are pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer and others who are claiming that they have a vaccine that is safe and effective against this virus. And yet, the Epic Times, you heard the headline, people are dying after taking the jab for the COVID-19 virus, Sam. So it's CDC's lying to us again. They do it all the time. Why would we expect them to behave any differently now? That's my question. Thanks.
Well, and you better fund the new media taking center stage. Because if we don't have funding, we won't be able to survive, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to be, a drama about this. I'm just trying to tell you that, hey, Gab is being threatened. Parler has already been shut down. You go to their website and they say, we're working on coming back. We have got to stand up now for the truth. And they're the ones peddling fake news. But they won't have an outright, flat-out scientific debate with open answers and questions because they know they'll lose. But the good news, ladies and gentlemen, is we are still on your radio and able to bring this information to you. Right, Lowell?
That's right, Sam. And praise be to God that you are, Sam. Thank you so very much.
Not only me, Lowell Nelson and many others. Dr. Scott Bradley coming up next. Thanks so much, Lowell. Godspeed, sir.
You're welcome.
He always brings the best commentary, the best columns, the best news the networks refuse to use to the table. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. For Lowell and Sam, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Please get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? LovingLiberty.net. Donate liberally today, will you please? God save the Republic of the United States of America.